This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We are going to attempt accounting. And this time yesterday, no big deal. Can handle it. Piece of cake. And then we watched, Virginia Tech at home get pounded. Virginia at home lose. North Carolina playing Marquette. Lost. I mean, goodness gracious. Good luck. I mean, this is going to be a bumpy ride. This is not going to be pretty the next 15 minutes. Only way I can describe it.
I'm just not at all. Okay, so it is true that I sent an original list last night that had Florida State at 1 and then had, like, I think Notre Dame at 11, Pitt at 12, Wake at 13, Miami 14, and BC 15, and everything in middle was blank. And I started to formulate that number 2 would be I, number 3 would be have, number 4 would be no, and number 5 or 6 would be idea. That was going to be the way I was going to do it. And then I decided, you know what, Packer, just kill me for all
that. I would have destroyed you. I would have beaten you like North Carolina beat Louisville last Saturday. That's what I would have done to you.
Right. Yeah. So what I ended up doing in my logic here.
Oh, boy.
What do you mean, oh, boy?
I'm going to get prepared. I'm prepared to see what you come up with.
Well, let's roll it out here then. All right, let's roll it out here. Go ahead. Let's roll it on out. I'll just show you what I did. Florida State 1, Clemson off the bye wins. Tigers 2, Duke playing good.
Goodness.
Have at it. 3, Georgia Tech. Yes, sir. Since dirt. 4, Virginia Tech. Not really good. 5, Virginia, worse. 6, Carolina. Was Bernard Toon and Jerome Whitehead on the floor last night? Bo Ellis, Butch Lee. 7, Louisville. Okay, you beat Notre Dame. You lost by 45. 8, NC State, you're moving up. You're 9. Good win at Virginia. Syracuse, 10. Notre Dame, Pitt, Wake, Miami, Boston College. There you go. What's the problem?
Well, I'm studying it because I it's the first time I've seen
it. Yeah, I know why you're studying it. I know why you're studying it. It's not that far off, is it?
Well, it is a little bit. But, and for folks, I just want to emphasize again, we have no idea what our picks are. Right? Folks, I know, think, they get together and they talk about it. We don't spend 1 second talking about it till we do it live.
Yeah, I know.
All right, roll mine a second. All right, and I'm going to give you a Sweet 16 like I always do, too.
Sure.
Number 1, I agree with you. Florida State. Number 7 through 15, I agree with you. Exactly the same. 1's the same.
Right.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. The exact teams in the exact same order.
Yes.
However, right. 2 through 6, we're all over the place. I know Virginia's lost.
They are all over the place.
I know Virginia's lost 3 in a row. I get it. But you know what? Well, who are you going to put in front of them? Virginia Tech? Well, you can't. I mean, the Hokies took a couple weeks off, and they just fresh off of getting pounded at home by Georgia Tech. I hinted yesterday at Clemson at 4. The Tigers could move up. But you know what? They lost to Virginia Tech a long, long time ago. Virginia beat them by 35, and I just can't justify the Tigers as high as the 2 spot. But they're coming, and they're not. I don't think they're going to lose one for a while. I like Georgia Tech, what they're doing. I got Georgia Tech in the 5 spot. I know Duke beat them a couple weeks ago, but I got Duke in front of North Carolina because North Carolina, listen, you Tar Heel fans can scream at me all you want, but, dude, you just lost to Marquette at home. I'm sorry. You got a chance to bump.
Yeah,
you got a chance to move up because you got great opportunities, including Florida State and Duke, who I've got in front of you. You got them coming to your house. So you got a chance to get back up there. But that loss last night was a killer for North Carolina big picture. Like I said, 7, you know, 8, what? 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 are all the same. And 16 this week. Didn't think I forgot about you, did you?
Friends of BPI.
The Friends of BPI. You, all of you, whoever you are, shameful. You're sweet 16 this week. Friends of BPI. There you go.
I just decided I was going to be fluid with it, and that's what happened.
It's hard.
That's how we hard. This Look at this. Hard. We got college BPI. We got graphic for those people. That's awesome.
That's it.
So there you go. That's this week's accounting. Remember, you can submit yours. In fact, a couple of you were challenging last night, so I just told you go ahead and submit it.
Yeah, go bring it on.
Put it on. Use the hashtag Packer in Durham. We will. I promise you, we will showcase at least one of these cats tomorrow.
If they do it.
And they're starting to come in.
Yeah, if they do it.
Yeah, you got to do it. You got to send it in. You got to use the hashtag Packer and Durham.
See, here's the thing, Wes. When it comes to all this goofy social media, if somebody comes up with their own list and wants to rag mine, I got no problem with it whatsoever. Yeah. You know what I have I have zero patience for? Oh, man, your list stinks. Yeah, so does your 11 followers on Twitter. Why don't you come up with a list? I mean, you got to jump in the deep end of the pool before you can take a shot.
Yeah.
But you can't just take a shot and then go run and hide, because I'll come chase you down if I find free time. That's how I operate on Twitter.
I'll chase you down
if I have time. And I don't like to spend a whole lot of time on it. But, you know, man, Packer, your list really stinks. Yeah, you know what? So does yours, because I can't find it. So that's how that works. But this one this week, given what you just seen in the last week, it makes your head spin. Because you want to move Virginia down. They haven't won in 10 days. But you're like, well, wait a minute.
Right.
Who do I put in front of them? Right? I mean, who do you put in front of Virginia? And the Hokie Nation, those guys. Well, yeah, you know what? But you've also got some L's that, you know what? Like that last time we saw you play. So it's hard.
That's why I was comfortable. Hey, I got comfortable with Clemson and Duke because the Tigers won by 21 and held an ACC team to 15 in the first half. And, oh, by the way, I didn't have any problem moving Duke up because Duke had just beaten Virginia.
Well, and here's the other thing here's why the eye test and trying to do accounting is hard, because Duke has given you the eye test in the last 2 weeks where you're like, all right, as far as – who do you trust on going to March? Yeah, Florida State for sure, but you could make the case Duke's playing better than anybody else, right? This side of Tallahassee.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, and that wouldn't be crazy talk. That would not be crazy, the way the Blue Devils are playing. But yet, you know, they got to stumble at Miami, and they struggled for seemingly too much. I mean, it depends how you want to handle when you do accounting and trying to figure all this stuff out. Virginia Tech's body work, they still have a great non-conference win against Villanova. Clemson's body of work, I'll be honest with you, they got more quad one and quad two wins than anybody in the league, including Florida State. You know, that wins against Bama and Purdue and Maryland and Mississippi State and Florida State and Georgia Tech and North Carolina and Louisville. I mean, so it's hard to figure that one out. It really is.
All right. I want you to mention what you said right before we went on the air today, because you want to. If people are sitting like, look, the new net is out. Carolina's dropped 11-44. Virginia fell 6-15. Okay, we can go through some of those details. So that just gives you the idea of how other people, independent of this show, are thinking of those two teams. All right, Duke this morning is still 48 or 49 rather. Okay, I want you to tell people exactly what you and I were talking about right before we went on the show about a week from Saturday.
I said,
because I want people to think about this now. This is real. This is where we're going with this if we're not careful.
I said to Wes before the show started, man, all of a sudden, Duke and North Carolina part two, which they play a week from Saturday in Chapel Hill, that game all of a sudden is starting to line up as are you in or out kind of game. I mean, they both have great opportunities between now and then. And Duke's still fighting, but they are certainly trending in the right way with the way they're playing. And North Carolina took a major step back. That was a major step backwards last night, losing that game. That's a bad loss. And you got Florida State Saturday, which, by the way, BPI, from what I understand, has now flip-flopped from North Carolina being favored to now Florida State being favored, from what I've been told during the break. But that game on Saturday in Chapel Hill is starting to feel like, boy, it has always had the vibe of, you know, top five teams, top 10 teams, all that stuff. Now it's really starting to feel like, man, that game could be winner is partying like a rock star, and the loser is like, yikes, we got to do something in Greensboro. And I mean, listen, they both can ill afford to stink it up in Greensboro. But that game now all of a sudden is starting to feel really different. Really different.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Especially based on the fact you got Louisville at Duke on Saturday and Florida State at Carolina. You were talking about ops?
Yes, sir.
Those are like, you got full-blown chances, and then, oh, by the way, y'all play each other, right?
And
it's amazing how it works.
And, you know, and for Louisville, hey, congrats on knocking off Notre Dame, but you still have a zero in the quad one department. That game, mm-hmm. Louisville and Duke, yep. is a monster. On Saturday, for all parties involved. I mean, we're getting to crunch time, man. This is the end of February, and on Monday, it's March 1st, and it is time to go. Can't wait.
And guess what? Guess what else we got to factor into this? And I don't know if we can do it tomorrow. Maybe we do it Monday. The games that haven't been played in the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was. I made a list the other day because I was just curious of who's missed who, like who's missing in action, right? When you look at schedules mm-hmm. and you look at records, you do have to look a little bit deeper. It's more than, well, you're two in the loss column.
That's it.
It's who you've played. Who have you beaten? I mean, some folks have had the ability to play Boston College twice. Some people haven't even seen Boston College. And again, not to pick on BC, but right now BC's on the bottom of the standings with one conference win. Some folks have had a better run in terms of the bottom two or three teams, loading up on the Wake Forest, Miami's, and BC's based on the way the standing lays out. So you got to look a little bit deeper than just your win-loss total in the standings. And I know we'll do percentages to determine seeds and all that stuff, but I'm talking now big picture as far as the NCAA tournament's concerned.
Right.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Today, we move on to True or False, presented by Dish.
Dish.
Tuned in to you. That's right. Josh Macri, ladies and gentlemen, is the moderator for this particular segment and provides the questions, and we allegedly provide the answers.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's funny that you segued with a BPI type of theme here because that's where we're going with our first true or false question. The Louisville Cardinals have three games remaining. Be careful before you say that. Louisville has three games remaining this season, and our friends at the Basketball Power Index give them less than a 40% chance to win any of them. So, true or false, Louisville will become our biggest ally in the war against BPI and win at least two of their final three.
False.
Yeah.
Two of three? False.
Yeah, maybe one. Maybe. I just don't know about two.
Maybe three. False.
Oh, yeah.
I could play the BPI game. Man. False. False means if they win all three, I'm right. Is that right? That's how BPI works, right?
Correct.
No.
False. False in all caps for the stupid BPI folks. Stupid.
Oh, jeez.
They are ridiculous.
Okay. There we go.
False.
Once again, making friends and influencing others.
Hey, I'm calling them out. We don't know who they are. They like to stay clandestine. They throw up. They throw stuff against the wall. 82% chance. Oh, we didn't say that. Yep, false. BPI, false in all caps. False.
When is the company picnic again? When is that, the company picnic? We're going to have one of those in 2021, you think, guys?
No, we're not getting together, period. We've been, hey, it's almost been a year since you and I have been together. So what makes you think we can get together for a picnic? Yeah. False on the picnic. False.
False on the picnic. I was just hoping that, Josh, you know what I mean. I mean, here we are. We're having hot dogs and hamburgers. We're
Zoom picnic.
At the company picnic, and all of a sudden, some guy comes up and goes, "Hey, you're Mark Packer, aren't you?" "Yeah, that's right, buddy." "Well, I'm Bert from over at BPI. Yeah, we don't like what you've been saying about
it's
us.
It's tough. I don't like what you guys keep forcing us to talk about when you're never right."
Well, not to mention the free beer at the picnic, too, to make the conversation even more interesting. Anyway, speaking of friends, Tucker Dordovic yesterday was on. Syracuse has Virginia this weekend. Dordovic, very interesting for a couple of reasons. The Syracuse men's lacrosse team hasn't lost back-to-back regular season games in nearly 4 years. It's been since 2017. But after that upset against Army, the Orange draw UVA, number 2 in the country, this weekend right here on ACC Network. So true or false, Syracuse will open the season with back-to-back regular season losses.
All right, before I answer, let me ask you. Wait a minute now, hold on. Before I answer this question, Josh Macri, do you think Syracuse is going to win against Virginia?
How well do you know me, Pack?
I know you extremely well. I'm sensing that you think they're going to lose.
Answer the So you answer the question for me.
All right. So I think I just want to get confirmation. Do you think they're going to lose?
I'm never optimistic, Pack.
All right. So will Syracuse lose consecutive regular season games, according to Macri? True.
You said false, though, Wes?
Wow. I said false. I think Syracuse bounces back and wins.
Lars
Dordovic,
Tiffany.
Chase Scanlon still there? Come on now.
Lars
I
Tiffany.
I know Lars Tiffany, friend of the show. So is John Desco.
They're all
friends
of the show.
I'm all about it here. But home game. Going home game, man.
All right.
Okay.
Just saying.
On the basketball card, we've seen plenty of chaos on both the men's and women's side recently. So true or false, as we're now just a couple of weeks away from the conference tournament, a team seeded fourth or lower will win either the men's or women's ACC tournament.
False. False.
I got to go to my card. Y'all are making me go to the card.
False. It's an easy false.
False. False for sure on the women's side. I just don't think it happens on the men's side this year. I mean, the fourth seed's only won the tournament 5 times in its history anyway. False. We don't know what the top 4 seeds are going to be in the men's side. We can kind of get 2 of the 4 in the women's side. Actually, almost 4 of the 4, I think. But, no, false.
False.
Time for coffee.
Second cup today, Wes?
Bingo.
All right, what you got, Macri? We're just over here cutting commercials is what we're doing.
That's right. Dabo held his spring press conference yesterday, and one thing he said was, "We're off to a better start this decade than we were in 2010. Well, that's for sure. Keeping in mind that the Tigers won 117 football games and a pair of natties, true or false, Clemson will have a better decade in the 20s than it had in the teens.
True.
Wow.
True.
Stop it.
True.
True?
Can I say it for the third time? True.
Okay. I mean, you think it's running that good that they and Alabama and Ohio State are at that level?
I'll say it for the fourth time. True.
Okay, but I mean, you don't think there's anybody that moves into that neighborhood among the other schools in the country that would take Clemson off the track, either in the ACC or from a national perspective? I'm just asking in the general conversation.
No. That could very well be the case. I don't think Clemson's going to go off the track, though. I think there may be more that jump on it, but I don't think they're getting off of it, is my point. So I'm going to go true.
Okay.
And Nick Saban, by the way, hold on. Nick Saban is 69 years old, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
True. for the sixth time.
True or false? You'll say true at least two more times before the next question.
True.
That doesn't count.
Here's my point, and I'm going to ask this in this light. 117 wins in a decade that's a lot.
11.7.
My question would be, yeah, thank you. Can Clemson be as successful without winning as many games if they were to win more national championships?
True.
Okay. All right. I'll go true then. Just ask. I'm looking for perspective here. I mean, if we don't think anybody's going to move into the neighborhood, I do. I mean, I do too. That's a very, very successful decade.
I do too. But here, your question is, will somebody else move into the neighborhood? Well, that would mean somebody's moving into the neighborhood in the SEC and in the Big Ten and in the ACC, and maybe Oklahoma wakes up and wins a playoff game, right? I mean, they've owned the Big 12. Right. The Pac-12, have they just fallen into the ocean? Maybe USC emerges. They could. I hope, for college football's sake, more folks join the Bama, Clemson, Ohio State bandwagon. It'd be awesome. But I don't think Bama, Ohio State, or Clemson, I don't think they're going anywhere.
I don't either. And I think that the possibility, and this is the fear I have, and ironically, this has kind of come up in conversations in the last couple of weeks, I think, leading up to the spring meetings. You know those meetings that we're talking about where they kind of talk about stuff behind closed doors and all of a sudden hatch ideas, right? The March, April, May stuff. People keep talking about expanding the playoff, but until you know for sure you're going to have people that are competitive in the playoff, do you really want to expand the playoff?
And the answer to that question is easy. You know why? The answer is, if somebody writes a big enough check, you're going to do it, whether it's competitive or not.
All right. That's true. It's all about that.
Right.
All right. Go ahead, Josh.
It doesn't matter if the 8 seed can't compete against the 1 seed.
True.
Hey, if people are going to make $50 million off that game as opposed to $28 million, we're going to have it.
Yeah. We're going to get true or false one day, Josh, where you're going to ask the questions in the first 15 minutes, and we're going to come back and take the subtopics in the second 15 minutes.
That's fine. Last one.
True.
Gino DeMary, Miami, coming up here in just about 5 minutes, maybe a little less, depending on how many subtopics you get to. True or false? After Miami got off to a stellar start this season, winning their opening series against Florida, true or false, the Canes will be the next ACC baseball team to win the College World Series. The last ACC team to do so was Virginia in 2015.
Oh, boy. That is tough. I should say true, given the fact Gino's coming on here in 3 minutes. But
why not?
I tell you, Louisville is so due, right? In Florida State, it would be great to see the Noles win it, given all the incredible success that they've had with a new regime. That's a great question. I would just, you know what? I'd like to see anybody from this league win it because I love baseball so much. Right. And until Virginia pulled it off in 2015, we had gone a long, long time in this conference, which has had great baseball without doing anything in Omaha.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. I told you, man, we got a ton of stuff today. Wrestling.
Yeah,
basketball, accounting, great guests, little football, and we got us some baseball. Because I tell you what, the old Canes.
Number one team in the country.
The Canes went up there to see the number one team in the country and christened that new ballpark and said, hey, enjoyed it. Catch you boys later. Life's good. That's how we roll in the ACC. Guys, have fun over there.
Yep.
Catch you later. Gino DeMary joins us.
Gino DeMary is the.
Go ahead, Russ.
The coach of the Canes. All right, so here's the deal, right? You go to Gainesville, start the ballpark. They cut the ribbon. Friday doesn't turn out the way you want to, coach, but after that, it works out just fine, doesn't it?
It did. You know, Friday wasn't looking so good there, but you know, what happened at the end of the game, I think, kind of set the tone for the rest of the weekend. We scored four runs in the ninth inning and made it close. And it kind of carried over the next day. You know, I just felt like there was a nice relaxed calmness about the team, which was great. In the dugout, I didn't feel any guys were, you know, pressing or here we go again with these guys. And just kept battling, and we did it again in the second game and scored three to tie it in the ninth and end up finding a way to get it done late in extra innings. And, you know, the Sunday game was a little different. We jumped up on them early, and they kind of came back on us and flipped the script. But we were able to finish it. And at the end of the day, we won two out of three. It's a big weekend for us. Great start for our program.
You know, it really does kind of set the tone, though, doesn't it? I mean, and that's why it's so great to have such big series right out of the gate. And again, everybody wants to play after what happened last year, and I know it's still early, but, man, it just kind of gives you that confidence that, guess what, we're never going to flinch. We're a really good team. So are they. And we may see them down the road when it really matters. But it really does set the tone, though, for you for the rest of the year in this league.
Those are all great points. Confidence is probably the one word I heard you say that's got to be big for our guys because we haven't been able to beat these guys. And there's been some close games. Last year they came down here and swept us. We were one, they were two, and two of the games went extra innings. They were close games. We were down to the last strike, just couldn't get it done, and it's happened in quite a few years with them. And so for us to be able to do that in their new ballpark, and they're ranked one at the time, and it's got to give our guys a lot of confidence, yes. And then you say set the tone. Look, there's no off weeks here now. When you got only 50 games instead of 56, and the rest of our weekend series are all ACC except one, when you get to exam May. So you're adding two weekends of ACC play. I was listening to you guys talk earlier there, and the ACC, in my opinion, is as deep as it's ever been in baseball. And so it's going to be a battle every weekend. And we don't have many midweek games. You lost those midweek games. Normally we would have 14, and we only have 8. So you lost 6 midweek games. So every game, I know it's the old cliche, but it really does matter every game.
You know, we talked to you last summer right after we kind of came back to the air, and we were talking about, you know, recruiting and the positioning and things like that. Well, now that you've moved through the fall and done your workouts and then come back to start the season, how different does this feel right now? You mentioned the scheduling, and I know in talking to other coaches, that's a big piece of it. But how different does the overall deal set up, do you think?
Well, the schedule is a big part of it because a lot of our competitors, I mean, they're playing 56 games, and they have a lot more. They have the 6 extra games, but don't forget, most of them are playing less in-conference games. So I think it's more difficult in our conference than most any other conferences. So from that standpoint, it's we got our work cut out for us. You know, in just regards of the overall layout of it, you know, we're doing things now that, you know, we're now it's baseball's turn to deal with the COVID and all the different procedures that you have to deal with. We're going to open up our first game here at our ballpark on Friday, and it's going to be different atmosphere because it's limited with fans, as it is a lot of places. I'm happy that we are going to have some fans here. But, you know, just, you know, we went and traveled up to Gainesville, like we talked about, and, you know, we couldn't leave the hotel, and we traveled in two buses instead of one, so we're split up. The dugouts are going to be different, guys. We're going to only have half of our team basically in the dugout, and the other half is going to be separated down by the bullpen. We got tents set up and you know, all those little different things. And, you know, look, we had 3 weeks basically to get ready for our opening game. And I'm sure I'm speaking for a lot of programs out there. I don't want to say it's just us, but we had a number of guys out. We had a number of guys that did. And those, when you get into that contact tracing, or if you test positive, you're out for, you know, a week to 2 weeks, whatever it may be, 10 days. It's not just, by the way, you come back from it, but then you got to take a cardio test. You got to do that as well. Right. And that doesn't happen so quickly. So it can be almost 2 weeks. So we got guys in our lineup that haven't even really played a whole lot. And you saw some sloppiness in both sides. You know, our defense was sloppy. Base running was sloppy in the weekend. But the fight wasn't. And that's the most important thing I took away from it as a head coach. I love the fight in our players. And that's something that should carry through the rest of the year. We always know we can do that.
We saw some highlights a second ago from the series, and Del Castillo had an awesome week, right? I mean, goodness gracious. He was like, hey, get on my back, let's go. It's always interesting to find out who's going to step up and say, guys, let's go, right? I mean, you kind of find out in moments like that, in series like that, when you take on number one on the road, about who's ready for the big moment.
No doubt. Well, I'm not sure which Del Castillo you're talking about. We have two of them.
Yeah, well, Christian rocked it, man. He was doing his thing, right? I mean, I know I got to be more specific on that, but yeah, I always find it interesting early in seasons of who is already kind of quote unquote in mid-season form, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And I didn't mean that like that. I just, Del, who's the younger Adrian Del Castillo, who's possibly going to be maybe the top hitter taken in the draft, is all American, and everybody knows Adrian. We call him Del. But Christian, his brother, I thanked Adrian after the series. I said, that's the best recruiting job I think I've ever seen anybody bringing his brother in from Seton Hall. But he's an experienced guy. He's played for 4 years already. This is his fifth year. And this didn't surprise me because the fact that he's been great all fall and spring. He's been one of our most consistent players. And this is Christian we're talking about, who you're showing there. We call him Deli. One's Dellen and he's Deli. But Deli's been great in the outfield. He's been great swinging the bat. He's a mentally tough kid, which is a great, to me, that's kind of sums up what a Miami Hurricane player should be, mentally tough. He's been great all along. And you're right. We had two freshmen start. I mean, I can't recall having two freshmen in the rotation. We had a Saturday and Sunday guys were freshmen. And, although they didn't get decisions, I thought they threw very, very well. They're facing one of the best teams in the country, a very good lineup on the road. And for their first collegiate outing, I thought they threw very well. And they're very talented guys. And then, of course, we had a couple other freshmen in the lineup. I think we batted Yo-Yo Morales. We batted him fourth in the first game and second game. And I think we hit him after he went 0-for-7 in the second game. I made a great decision. I batted him third. I flip-flopped him to Dell. Thank God it worked out. We ended up scoring a lot of runs, and he had three hits, and Dell had hits, and it worked itself out. Yes, it is nice to get a – you practice, you inner squad, you're doing all those things, but you never know really till you get out there, I guess you should say, and that alludes to what you were saying, and it was nice to see some of those guys have good weekends.
All right, Gino, I want to finish at least from my perspective on this. We've talked about the schedule. We've talked about the way the teams develop. I'm gonna drill down a little bit on the details of pitching here. You mentioned the lack of the midweek and now going conference to conference, perhaps for the bulk of this rest of the regular season. What kind of challenges does that present to your pitching? Because I know one of the things that midweeks do, it gives you a window to see a guy who you say, well, you know what, if this guy pitches well on Tuesday, then I might give him a chance on Sunday to take a little bit bigger role.
You know, so our schedule, the way we set it up, is we've got our midweek games kind of in the middle of the season. So our first 3 weeks, no midweek games, and then kind of late the last few weeks, midweek games. So the middle of our season's where we got to set up. So we have a little bit of time to buy ourselves to kind of get that idea who that fourth guy is. They're getting opportunities. They got them this weekend. We brought in guys out of the pen. Obviously, it gives us some time to get a feel for who that fourth guy is, because we don't know who that is. And we have a number of guys that are competing for that. We had eight guys competing for three spots to start the season. So we got some guys still in the pen that can be that guy. It's a positive from this standpoint. It allows JD, our pitching coach, when you don't have midweek games, it gives him that extra time during the week to work with these guys in their bullpens, which you're not able to do if you're playing midweek games. You can't throw bullpens if you got to have them ready for those Tuesday, Wednesday games. So it reminds me of the old days when I played in a long time ago. We didn't have, I think the season was more spread out, bigger window, and you didn't have a lot of midweek games. So we were able to practice more during the week. I like that as a coach. It prepares us, obviously, for the weekend, but it gives our pitching coach time to work and develop our guys. It buys us a little time, which we need, because it comes on you so quick early on. Like I said, you only get 3 weeks. So, and then once we get there, we'll have a better idea when we get to that first midweek game, which I think we play FAU March 9th. It buys us some time to do that.
By the way, Gino, real quick, are we selling shakes? Are we going to be able to get those shakes for a home game or not? We good on that?
They are. Oh, yeah. Yes, I just saw it on social media morning, and yeah, it's a popular item here, I guess.
You know,
that's
it
great. Yeah, they'll be. I never have them. I hear they're great, but yeah, they'll be here.
What, you've never had one?
I've had maybe one or two over the 20 years that I've been here. I've only had a few.
Is that right?
Guys, wow. If I started on those things, I would be in. I already have enough trouble as it is. I love food, so oof, I'd be in big trouble if I got hooked on them shakes. So I've been disciplined because I have had a few, and they are very, very good, but I've stayed away from them.
Coach, a man's got to live. I mean, you got to live on more than baseball alone. Baseball and the shake, you're good to go down there in Coral Gables.
Yeah, I don't like being full during the game. Maybe after the game, but not during the game.
That's it, yeah.
You need
any help down there.
You keep beating the Gators. I got news for you. We're going to have a celebratory shake on your behalf. That's what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm all for that.
Thanks. Good luck against the Hokies this weekend. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday, busy Thursday. We're going to have a crazy power hour coming up as well with Leonard Hamilton and Mike Krzyzewski. But before we do that, we're going to go to the one of the corner offices in Greensboro. And bring on Senior Associate Commissioner Mary McElroy, who joins us, because while we have fun talking about games and outcomes and coaches and players and all that stuff, this is a very, very important week in the ACC, Wes.
Yeah, Unity Week in the ACC. All the member institutions have moments during athletic events. You're seeing it on social media. You're seeing it not only during games, but also in other areas as well. So Mary joins us from Greensboro. And the ACC Unite is just a part of CORE, which is a group that was put together last summer by Commissioner John Swofford. I know Jim Phillips has embraced it as well. Mary, good morning, and thanks for taking time. I know this is a busy week because you're also in charge of women's basketball, so the tournament's not far away. So thanks for a few minutes. And ACC Unite is off to a tremendous start here in the winter.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The Unity Week is something that is an initiative of CORE, and it's our opportunity to showcase the different things that are going on in the conference from the student-athlete standpoint especially, and things that are going on the campuses to highlight the ways in which the ACC is championing racial and social justice. This is a really important initiative, and we want to make lasting change that stays around.
And Mary,
athletes, this generation is really.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but each institution has taken ownership of this. So that makes it even more interesting when you realize that, hey, what may work at BC is totally different at Miami and vice versa and across the land. And again, the creative efforts to have fun, to get this message across, has got to be a great deal of fun and joy for everybody involved.
Absolutely. I mean, there are various ways, as you alluded to, that the institutions are embracing this, between the voter initiatives, between clothing drives, making Black Lives Matter t-shirts, marching. The student-athletes' activism is on full display this year, and we couldn't be happier to see it. We're very, very proud of them.
Mary, the activism of those student athletes, this is different. Mark and I talked about it in the fall a lot, obviously, as football started and the fall sports took shape. The embracing of this movement by student athletes is really different than anything we've ever seen. As someone who's spent a lifetime in college athletics, what have you seen that's the biggest change among those student athletes who are with you in the CORE?
The courage to say the words Black Lives Matter, first and foremost. When Coach K came out and did that video, and others did the videos, our external people have done public service announcements with all of our coaches embracing activism. Our student-athletes took that and ran with it. Actually, I believe they were probably active even before that. So, I mean, we just celebrate their courage and their commitment to this. It matters. It clearly matters to them.
Mary, the thing that's been cool to watch, and I went down to Clemson when Darian Rencher and the players put together their peaceful protest, and it was moving. I mean, as an alum, I was moved. Mm-hmm. It was phenomenal to watch and to see student athletes take ownership. I think that's the coolest part of all of this, It's not, you know, talking heads on television. It's not power brokers. It's truly core. Like, core is the perfect tie here, right? It starts at the ground and the grassroots effort. And the student athletes have taken such ownership of it. And I know you talked about, you know, the courage. But the one thing I think we've noticed, and especially whether you went to a protest or interviews or whatever, is they are taking an ownership of it where you don't even get a sense of the courageous part. It just feels like, hey, it's just the right thing to do, right? I mean, forget about right, wrong.
Exactly. Hey,
that's what you're just treating people with respect, getting people to listen and understand what the message is. And it's okay to disagree, but to have a conversation where you open up your mind and understand, hey, let me approach it differently if I don't understand it. And to see young people at the center of this, at the heart of this movement, really is fascinating. And Wes and I, of course, have, you know, college-age kids. And, you know, anytime you could see somebody 18 to 22 years of age say, hey, this is my project. This is our project. Here is our message. Indeed. It's really awesome to watch.
It is. It really is. And that's been at the heart of the inception of CORE, which is the nickname that we've put on our Committee for Racial and Social Justice, is that we want to be a part of meaningful and lasting change. And the fact that the student athletes have embraced this so readily and it's part of them gives me hope that this is going to be in the bricks, as we say, and it's going to be around for the foreseeable future, and it's going to keep growing. Unity Week is not something we're doing just this year. This is going to happen every year in the ACC, every season, fall, winter, and spring. So we're going to be able to just continue to keep this dialogue going.
That's awesome. Mary, I'm going to ask you to switch hats here from CORE to women's basketball. I don't know that you know, we're going to have some kind of finish here. Louisville and NC State have certainly been the two big names on the landscape here so far, but you've had great stories starting to emerge, Virginia Tech being one of them, Wake trying to make the tournament for the first time since 88, Syracuse trying to find that rhythm. I mean, I'm not going to make you the chair of the selection committee, but how good do you think the event can be in Greensboro next week?
Well, luckily for us, we do have the chair of the selection committee in the conference, but I mean, not that she's going to be partisan in Nina King, but we hope that, you know, that, well, it won't necessarily matter that she's the chair. What matters is what our teams have done this year. As you said, there are so many stories and our teams have excelled in so many ways. If we are to believe Charlie Cream, we got 9 teams in the running for this tournament this year. And so I'm going to believe him. And wouldn't it be nice to get all 13? But we'll take 9.
Yeah, I think you'd sign up for 9 right now and say, hey, if anything more than that, we'll party like rock stars. But 9's a strong number. The league's good. And it's going to be a fascinating tournament.
Yes. Yes, it is. I mean, this is the home stretch of the season. We got 2 play dates, and that's it. And it's going to come down to the last game.
Well, you guys have done a great job getting through this season, the coaches and teams and athletic administrations and women's basketball as well. So we're looking forward to Greensboro. And congratulations on Unity Week. We're excited to be part of it. And thanks again for your time today. Stay well, okay?
Thank you. We really appreciate everything that the ACC Network has done.
Well, by the way, we've been told to wish you a belated happy birthday today, too.
Uh-oh. Now the truth comes out.
Yeah. So it's been a busy week.
Enjoy it.
Thanks, Mary. Appreciate it. Mary McElroy is the Senior Associate Commissioner of the ACC. Great to have her with us this morning from Greensboro. When we come back, we tee up. We've often called this the power hour. This might be the most powerful hour we've ever had.
Wow.
In 329 shows.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.